Bow our heads.
Good morning. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I come to you again, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you for just being here in our presence, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. I just ask that you open up your word to us that we may just learn from it, Lord, and just give us the wisdom to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So the title for today's message is Trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. And we're going to be in several parts of the Bible today. And we're going to be in 1 Kings, since I can bring it up, 1 Kings 17, 1 through 10, and Psalm 118 throughout that. So let me ask you a question. Do you trust your friends?
Somewhat.
Somewhat?
No.
That's a
question. So, do we trust our families?
No.
We trust our families?
No.
Yes.
Wow.
Sometimes, yes.
These are brutal. each other by building that relationship with each other, right? We spend time with each other. We do things with each other, right? We become friends, right? We become family. Sometimes our friends become like family, right? And that's how we develop trust. Trust can be broken, though, right? Trust can be broken. To fix broken trust, we have to work on that relationship, right? We have to get it back. There has to be forgiveness, right? There has to be forgiveness. There's one person that ever existed that will never break your trust.
Jesus
Christ. He will never break it. Have we broken ours?
Yes.
Absolutely. How is that reconciled? Through forgiveness. Through forgiveness. We're reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. So, do you have trust in God?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's that mean to you? What does that mean to have trust in God? To have trust in the Almighty Jesus Christ? Everything. Everything, right? Our trust in Him is our everything. So, definition of trust. It's a firm belief in the reliability, truth, or the ability or strength of someone or something. Relationships have to be built on trust, right? And that's confidence, that's belief, that's faith. And there's a certainty about our trust with God. Right? We trust each other. Right? We trust our spouses. But that's a trust that has to be built. It has to be built. So I trust my wife with my whole entire being, even with those glasses on. So Cleta had cataract surgery, right? She had cataract surgery on Thursday, so she's healing from it. But she had somewhat trust that when she come out of there, that cataract would be gone, right? So where did we put our trust at? We didn't really put trust in the doctors a little bit, but we put our trust in Jesus that everything would be okay, right? And he brought her out. Everything's smooth. Right? Praise God. Everything's good. So we have that. We have that confidence that God's going to do for us. Right? It's an assurance. Blessed assurance. Amen. The old hymn. Good relationships are built on trust. Without trust, you cannot have a relationship with somebody. We have to go to the Lord and we have to trust Him with everything we have. Most people trust Him with a little bit of this, a little bit of that, or they trust Him with everything, but not their money. They trust Him with everything, but not their health. Right? We have to trust the Lord with every single thing that we have. And we have to have that faith, right? That we can depend on Him and bank on Him and count on Him and be sure of that. And our faith, the definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So faith and trust are intertwined. Amen? They're interwoven. A strong belief in God or the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. We have proof that we can trust in God. Because you're sitting here today. Not because you're in this church. Right? Holy Spirit led you to come to church. Right? We can trust in God that He's here with us right now. I can feel it. Amen. I can feel it.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which is my favorite scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. See, when we lean on our own understanding, who are we trusting in?
Ourselves.
Right? And we're the one that breaks most of the trust when we trust in ourselves. Amen? So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. If we're acknowledging Him every day and we're praising Him every day, He's going to make our path straight. We make them crooked. We trust in ourselves. We trust in the world. We trust in all this other stuff and we walk the crooked path. But when we trust in the Lord, He makes it straight. He makes it straight. So, 1 Kings, we've got to go there. 1 Kings 17, that's 2 Kings. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 10. And by the way, I'm recording this, as I do every week, to put it on the website. And last week, I forgot to shut it off for a long time. So I had to edit it. So please today remind me to shut it off after we're done. We're going to have communion today, which last month I forgot, but we're going to do the altar call first, and then we're going to do communion. Only because if there's anybody that has anything on their heart, because Paul says we have to examine ourselves, right? We have to come with a clean conscience, right? To take communion, right? If you're saved, you can take it, right? Because if you've got something on your heart and you want to get it off, you can come up before communion or sit right there and just go to God with it. But I ask that you examine yourself. So 1 Kings 17, 1 through 10 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook
Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So Ahab was the worst of all kings, turning from God and making all the northern kingdom of Israel worship Baal. The false god Baal was supposed to control the weather, right? He was the weather god, and Baal ends up being a lot more than that. But rain was important for, well, they thought he was more than that. He really wasn't. He was a false god. But rain was important for survival in the desert, wouldn't you think?
No.
Right? So God raised up Elijah to lead his people back to him despite their idolatry. In 1 Kings 17:1, Elijah called for the drought, and he wanted to show the glory of God, that God is the only one that controls the weather. He's the only one. Nobody else controls the weather. There's no other nature. There is no other nature. There's only Father God. And we were in South Carolina. Did anybody catch that? This made me chuckle. Someone come knocking at the door, at our apartment door, and they said, "Can I tell you about Mother God?" I'm like, "What?" I said, "Okay, tell me about Mother God." There's a part in Scripture where it says, Jerusalem, right? Mount Zion in Jerusalem is God. But the mother was talking about Sarah. Right? They misconstrued it about Mother God. So we had a conversation and they ended up leaving pretty quickly. Because when we give the devil truth, what happens? He flees.
Yes.
He flees. So in 17:2, God's direction and provision, right? He told Elijah exactly what he wanted to do, and he said he would take care of him. And we go in 17:6 where it says that God used ravens because nobody would track the ravens, because ravens were dirty, right? Ravens were dirty. You couldn't be around ravens. And God tells us that they are unclean. So, and we have to note that the ravens never ate the food that was meant for Elijah. This is yet another truth from the Holy Word of God, that he is in total control of everything. Elijah also had God's protection when he went to the brook. So, but we see that when God said, "Get away from here, turn eastward and hide by the brook, which flows into the Jordan, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook and have commanded the ravens to feed you everywhere." So he went. It says, so he went. Right? He had complete trust in God. He didn't even question it. He went. Do we do that? Do we do that? When we get a command from God, what do we do? What do we do? Huh? We question. Back in the mid-90s, God called me to be a pastor. And I ran from it. Right? I ran from it. I didn't want nothing to do with it.
How do you know he called you?
I felt it.
Okay.
Yeah. I felt that he wanted me to share his word. And I ran from it. That call came back. He's like, "I'm not done with you." Right? "I'm not done with you." And praise God.
Amen.
I'll listen this time. That's not for me, though, right? That's for God. If he calls you to do something, he's not going to give up.
Right.
If he wants you to do it, if he's calling you to minister, or if he's calling you to do whatever, he's not giving up. If he wants you to do it, he's going to keep coming back. He wanted Elijah to do this, and Elijah, so he went, and did according to the word of the Lord. Right? That's how we have to do it. We can't go on our own. Because if we go on our own, we're going to
be alone. Mm-hmm. Right? Our path's going to be crooked. Amen? It's not going to be straight. Then the brook dried up. The brook dried up. Has anybody ever had a brook dry up? Oh, yeah. We've all had brooks dried up. We all have them dried up. So, but what we have to know is when God puts us by a brook and then it dries up, that He's not going to open another door until He closes one. He won't open the door until He closes one. He'll dry that brook up and then open another door. Amen? That's what He does. So while we may have a dry brook right now, God's turning on the pumps to get another one flowing. He's working. He's working ahead. He knows infinity from now. Obeying God doesn't mean the brook won't dry up. Did it mean Elijah had sinned when the brook dried up? No. Did it mean that he was out of God's will? No. That God was displeased with him? No. No, no, and no. It meant that God had another place for him to go, had another plan for him to do. Now, can our brook dry up because we're being disobedient? Absolutely. Absolutely. But we're staying in the will of God, and we're reading the word, and we're praying, and we're coming to church, and we're doing all the things God wants us to do, and the brook dries up. He's got something else for you. He's got something else for you. We need to pray for God to open doors for us, right? But we also have to pray for Him to shut the doors that He don't want us to walk through.
Amen.
Right? Learn that the hard way. I learned that the hard way. And He has shut a lot of doors. So we have to be prepared for that. Right? It may be something that we want to do, but it's not what God wants us to do. So that door's going to shut. Amen?
Amen?
That door's going to shut. So it even meant that Elijah was to put his trust in God and not the brook. We can't put our trust in the brook or what we're doing. We've got to put our trust in God. People put their trust in Moses' staff. Where should we trust in them? God. We put our trust in our circumstances. We put our trust in the wrong places. We put our trust in the world. It's fine to trust family and trust God, or trust doctors and everything else, but we got to trust God first and let Him go before us to make that path straight. Amen? That's what we need to do. What do we do when the brook dries up? Well, Elijah's growing process is how God grows His people, right? Sometimes we may have to wait. We may have to wait. When you find yourself in a dry place, and when your spirit is dry and your prayer life is dry, your soul becomes thirsty for God. And it can seem if God's not there, but be encouraged. God is there, right? He's just calling you to another place. See, God wants you to know that He wants to know that we trust Him and have the faith that He will, and have faith that He's always going to do what's best for us. He wants our, He's a jealous God. He doesn't want us to place trust or love or anywhere else but Him. We need to rely on Him. You know, while we're waiting for another door to open, it might not always be pleasant. It might not always be pleasant, what we're going through. But God's there, and He's going to... We talked about Yahweh Shalom today in Sunday school, right? The God of peace. While our brook's dried up and we're waiting for another door to open, God will give us that peace. We have to stay trusting Him, stay in Him, stay in His Word. Right? Even though we're going through bad stuff, that doesn't mean He's not there with us. That doesn't mean He's not there.
And he wants to use that time when we're waiting for another door to open. He wants us to use that time to get closer to him. He wants that time. He wants our time. Then he wants us to grow spiritually. However, we have to want, we have to apply ourselves to the relationship to build that trust. If we're not applying ourselves to the relationship, regardless of who it is, we're not going to build that trust. We're not going to build that trust. We just can't sit around and feel sorry for ourselves and blame God for the season that we're in, right? When one door shuts and while you're waiting for another one to open, and this comes from my beautiful wife, praise him in the hallway.
Praise him. That's right.
Praise him in the hallway. Elijah could have questioned God until God's instructions made sense to Elijah. But part of trusting God is obeying him despite whether it makes sense to us or not. It's God. He's not going to hurt us. He's God. God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than ours. I want to go to 1 Kings 19, verse 8 through 12. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Talking about Elijah. What is that? 40 days, 40 nights. Where do we see that elsewhere? Noah. Moses. Jesus. All miracle fasts. Right? They got by. By trusting in God. Could we go 40 days without food and water? You better believe we could. If we trust in God, and that's what God wants us to do. That's another miracle fast that we see in the Bible. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing, Elijah? He was running from Jezebel. He was afraid. He wasn't trusting in God. What are you doing? Has God ever said that to you? What are you doing? Have you ever said that to God? God, what are you doing? I have. I've said that. I've asked God that before. Nothing wrong with asking, talking to God. He's your Father. We don't want to disrespect him, but we can go to him and say, God, what are you doing? Guide me, lead me, show me what you want me to do. You know, sometimes when we think things are hopeless and all we have to do is listen for that still small voice that Elijah heard. We need to be aware that our disappointments are God's appointments for us. We should never feel that we need to run and hide in a cave when we have Jesus on our side.
Amen.
And a lot of times we want to do that, right? We just want to escape our life. We can't do that. We have to be here. So many live on the surface of the Bible, and I've talked about this before. We're just skimming over the Bible. We're reading our daily devotions, which is nothing wrong with that. I read daily devotions. But you have to want more. Right? You have to apply yourself to that relationship. Right? We just can't live on the surface of the Bible. We have to live in the Bible. We have to live in the Bible. And what did it say back in 17? It says, so he went and he did according to the word of the Lord. If you're not in your Bible, how do you know what the word of the Lord is? Right? How do you know? Psalm 18, and I'm going to finish with this. And then we're going to do some communion. Psalm 118. This is a victory psalm. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever." Do you think his mercy endures forever? You better believe it does. You better believe. But what does that mean, that his love and mercy endures forever? So first, let's apply it to our own lives. When we're dealing with a tough situation, remember that it came to pass, or this too shall pass. That's a reference. Whatever we're dealing with isn't going to last forever. But his love for us will last forever. My point is that God will see us through that tough situation, and his love endures through it and past it. We never have to cross a finish line. We don't have to cross first. We just have to cross. We have to run the endurance race of faith. We don't have to be the first one there. We don't have to win that race. Because Jesus, if we do the right things and we serve him, well done, my good and faithful servant. Right? So that's what we want to look at. Jesus is the victory and gets the victory no matter what. It's not us that gets the victory. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal." That's what Robin read. That's our key verse. That's our key verse. Remember I said that you may have to wait? Matthew 9, 18 through 25 says, "While he spoke these things to him, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, 'My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live.' So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, 'If I only may touch his garment, I shall be made well.'" Trust. Reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Reach out and touch it. That's trust. I did a sermon on this whole parable a couple months ago. We have to have trust. We have to walk through that door that he opens. Right? God opened a door for her to be able to walk out in the public where she wasn't allowed. To go be with Jesus. 22 says, "But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, 'Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well.' And the woman was made well for that hour." When Jesus came into the ruler's house, let me go to that. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But the crowd was put outside, and he went and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. The parents trusted that he would come in and do exactly what he said he would do. Let me go to Mark. So Jesus said, let me back up a little bit. So when Jairus came to Jesus, I'm going to paraphrase that. When Jairus came to Jesus and said, "Please come, my daughter is dying," Jesus said, "Okay." Jesus was walking with Jairus. And then the woman come up, touched the hem of his garment, and he felt the fire go on. And he stood and talked to her for a while. And what about Jairus? What about the daughter? Sometimes we may have to wait. Doesn't mean there's not enough Jesus to go around.
Amen.
But there's something he wants us to learn. Jairus able to have a little bit more trust. That he was given to the woman.
There's always something that Jesus wants us to do.
Do you trust Him? Yes. We have to trust Him with everything that we have. If we don't, we're never going to have peace. We're never going to have peace.
So I ask that if you need prayer, if you want to, if you have a heavy heart and you want to make it light before we take communion, I ask that you come up. You can sit right there, make your heart right, and get right with the Lord. Amen. Give my heart.
I ask that you come up. My mic will be turned off. I do use, mostly everybody knows that I use oil. And then we'll go into the communion service there. I do pause and wait, because I don't want anything coming across that. That will,
it'll shut off.
Huh. That's cool.
It's a fire saver.
I mean, do your thing. Whoa. Or if you've never received Jesus Christ,
I ask you to come up. If you need somebody to trust,
you're killing
me. Gave the one.
That's all right. You got it. We're good.
Oh, I'm
home.
So if there's anybody that knows technology, what is up? For a couple reasons. Because I would like to start with a sign on the website. And I need somebody to help with that. Anybody's tech savvy. Pictures and stuff like that. So, but if you need prayer, I ask you to come up. If you never receive Jesus, I ask you to come up. Let Him take your burden. Let Him take your burden. Examine yourselves so that we can all commune together with Jesus. Go ahead, pray. Pass out the bread, and just we'll just start and go through like we've been. So if we can bow our heads. Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your work on the cross, that it is finished. Lord, we thank you for your broken body that was broken and tortured, so that we may live forever, so that we may be with you forever. Lord, there's no words that we can give, and not enough thanks for the pain that you endured for us, that you took our debt and paid it, when it was ours to pay. Lord, I ask you to bless this bread today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please pass the bread on.
that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was given, in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please take and eat. We bow our heads, please. Jesus, we come to you again, Lord, and we thank you for, again, your work on the cross. That your blood that you shed gives us remission for our sin. That our sin is washed away, that we may be white as snow. That no matter what we do or how we do it could ever accomplish that, Lord. It is your finished work on the cross is why we can be cleansed from our sin. That every drop that you shed was for each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you. And we give you all the glory, Lord. And I just ask you to bless the sacrament, the representation of your blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." He's taking drink and communion with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bow our heads. Father God, we come to you and we thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you for the service that you have just being here with us, Lord. Lord, we just give you all the glory for it, Lord, and we just ask you to bless the tithes and offerings, Lord, and may it be used to further your kingdom. Lord, we can't do anything without you, and Lord, we place our trust solely in you. Lord, I ask you to bless each person here, Lord. I ask that you walk with them. Lord, I ask that you provide for them. Lord, I just ask you to grow them in you. Lord, to give them what they need and to be bold in sharing you. Lord, you give us a great commission. Lord, and I just ask that you give us the strength and the boldness and the just to trust you that you are walking with us. Lord, I ask that you just continue to be with us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I ask now that you all go in the Lord. Be blessed. Take them.